2 weeks ago, in front of a packed house at WHYY in Philadelphia, we recorded live on stage with three of the best chefs in the city. And so this week, we're bringing you our Philly special. Now, between the Eagles winning the Super Bowl and Villanova just roasting my Michigan Wolverines, Philadelphia is just unstoppable these days. But, you know, a lot of people in the food world have known that for a while now. I mean, it's home of the greatest hoagies and cannoli on earth, and fantastic Vietnamese and Mexican food, and a little gem called the roast pork sandwich. But it's only lately that people outside of Philly have started to see it as a home of great chef talent. So we wanted to talk to three of the chefs who are at the forefront of the scene: Michael Solomonov of Zahav, Eli Culp of High Street, and Angie Branca of Saute Campar. And it turns out that none of those chefs were originally from Philadelphia, but they all chose to make their careers and lives there. So we talked with them about what inspires them and how they root themselves in their city, and really, what is it about this town that makes it so delicious? Our first guest definitely had some thoughts. So Mike Solomonov, you are the chef owner of Zahav, and you are known literally around the world as one of the great voices of Israeli cooking, of Israeli-American cooking. People treat you like an ambassador. You know, they call you up when they want to know something about a place that's 6,000 miles from here. But I want to talk to you about something that's a little closer, and the fact that I read an article about you, and in it said that you are constantly turning down offers to open Zahavs elsewhere. And the reason you gave was, making money sounds great, but I like when people come to Philadelphia to have dinner.
True story.
What does that mean?
Well, we here in Philly, we are often overshadowed, or have been overshadowed in the past, from DC and New York. And I love being in the restaurant. I love cooking in the restaurant. I love greeting people. I love the fact that we have people that will travel to Philly to have dinner. And I think that that is such a switch. You know, I think that at one point, if you wanted to cook, if you wanted to eat fine food, you had to go to New York. And I don't know. You know, I am not from here. I've been in Philly for 17 years. I definitely feel like it's my home. I feel like in the last decade or two, it has gone through this transformation, and it's just an amazing place to do business. It's an amazing place to raise a family. It's got a small town charm to it that I feel like you just don't get, or you wouldn't expect in a city of this size.
Right.
And it's great to be a part of it. It's great to be able to innovate. Of course, opening a Zahav in New York would be like the most obvious thing in the world. But like, we made a lot of mistakes when we opened, and our community gave us a lot of passes to try to figure out what it is that we had to do. Mm. Getting national or international acclaim for a restaurant, an Israeli restaurant in Eastern Pennsylvania in the city, we needed this period of growth and this pass that we got from Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the fact that you came 17 years ago. You had started cooking in Israel. You came back to the United States. You went to culinary school in Florida, I believe. What did you expect to see from the culinary world here at that time? What did you see?
Well, I didn't expect. I was literally on the way to New York. And I was going to go work, it was like Le Cirque or Danielle or something like that. And I was here and ate, I knew like Le Becfin was here, and the Four Seasons was, I think Jean-Marie Lacroix was like the chef there, and that was kind of a big deal, but I didn't know that there was like anything else. And I had dinner at Brasserie Perrier. I had bites at Susanna Fu, and then I ate a little bit at Striped Bass. I just didn't expect that level of sophistication at all. And Philly just seemed, pragmatically speaking, it was just an easier place to live than New York. I mean, I was prepared to go live in the Bronx with seven other line cooks, and live in a closet and make $10 an hour, and then work at Le Cirque for a few years, and then go to France and stage for 1 year, and then come back and open a restaurant, and that would be it. But, it that's just obviously not what happened.
Right.
And luckily, I got stuck here. I worked at Striped Bass for a year, and then I worked at Vetri for almost 3 years. And then my business partner, Steve Cook, who was a finance guy in New York, came to Philly, opened a restaurant, a BYOB in West Philly called Marigold Kitchen, mm-hmm. And then hired me to be the chef. And that was in 2005, and it's kind of how it went.
Yeah. I love the murmurs in the crowd when you mentioned Marigold Kitchen.
This is still like an excellent restaurant. I haven't been there since we sold it because I feel like I would go in there and like ugly cry, but it was it was an amazing place. And that was the thing. I mean, Steve came back, had a few years of restaurant experience, bought this restaurant, and it was this 40-seat BYOB in West Philly and made it work. You know, yeah. And you just don't have the luxury of doing that in a lot of huge cities. Mm. And it was so, I remember when I took the job there, it was like, the restaurant is 100 years old or something. And there are, at that time, there was a stipulation from the landlord that there were boarders that would live upstairs on the second floor. And they had to stay there. So we'd be in the middle of dinner service and a guy would come downstairs with like his bike and like come in with a dog, and they would order pizza to the vestibule of the restaurant and walk it through the restaurant and take it upstairs. And that was the second floor. And on the third floor, it was like a haunted house. I was on the third floor. We had this water bath with an immersion circulator, and like, there was only one light that worked in this one room that had all these like doll heads and stuff. And
come on.
So there would be lamb shoulders circulate, sous-vide upstairs for like 36 hours. There would be boarders with pets and bikes and pizza delivery on the second floor. And then we had a BYO on the first floor, you know, and it was really amazing. And it was really, I think, sort of indicative of the way that people think here. Like, you can be really creative here because the stakes are not as crazy. You don't right. need to raise $30 million or whatever to like open a new restaurant and try it out.
Yeah.
I think that people started to realize that it's a very easy city to live in, and it just became, there was this sort of energy and this growth and vibrancy. And in the spirit of celebrating the American city, people are now accepting of things. It became a lot less segregated, and younger people started moving back. Hmm. Penn also, and I'm not sure when this happened, became the largest employer in Philadelphia. And so academia and medicine have been really charging a lot of the growth as well. And like, I live a block away from Zahav. I live 4 blocks away from my oldest son's public school and 4 blocks away from my son's preschool. Yeah. And you can just do that here. Right. It's not that difficult. It's amazing and it's beautiful. And from the restaurant perspective, there are people that were interested. This is not an unsophisticated town, and people are also pretty open about telling you what their constructive criticism is. the velocity in which you receive it, especially amongst the Israeli population in your Israeli restaurant. Yeah, I was thinking about this too. I work usually like at the pass, so Zav's an open kitchen, and we have like Israeli moms coming up to the pass all the time telling me what I'm doing is wrong.
Yeah. You know,
and they love it. And they still stay and I kiss them on the cheek and all that. But they tell me all the time what sucks that I'm doing for them.
And but in a world where, you know, all your customers are your neighbors, like they're like aunties. It's like, it's cool. Like that's what aunties for.
Right. They're like my family, you know? Yeah. Like even when they're giving you a compliment, it sounds like they're yelling at you. But I think it's wonderful. I think you should move to Philly, dude. I really do. I feel like that's like the responsibility of Philadelphians now too. It's like anybody that you know that lives in a different city, especially if they like want to have a family, I'm like, you need to move back. That's like that's what happens, you know, because it is easy, because it's lovely here, because there's so much history, there's so much progression, you know, and there's so much vibrancy, and you can walk down the street. And I think that whenever, and I hate to keep using New York, I love the city of New York. I love the island of Manhattan. It is unbelievable, but it is impossible to go through the Lincoln or Holland Tunnel without $1,000 just pouring out of your pocket, you know? And I'm like, I ate a freaking hot dog and I'm somehow down $1,200. I just don't know how it happens. Come and stay with us, Francis. Yeah. You'll love it, dude. Come and hang with us. Come and stay. Come and walk through like Spruce Street, Harbor Park, or go to the Barnes, or run Kelly Drive. Do you run?
Do I look like I run?
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Run.
I was just fishing my compliment right there.
And we'll run the Rocky Steps, and then we'll go to the beautiful museum directly behind the Rocky Steps, and we'll walk through Fairmount Park, and come and hang out for Fringe, the Fringe Festival, and feel and breathe the city for 1 week. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to move here.
This was not where I thought this was going to go.
Yeah. We were talking about.
I thought I was
going
to talk to you about
Greece,
like restaurants, and now all of a sudden I'm like, I'm talking to the world's best real estate agent.
I know. I have a great property for you. No, seriously.
So, okay, I'm ready for some apartment viewings. I'll see you later.
Thank you so much. Ladies and
gentlemen, Mike Solomonov.
Michael Solomonov obviously missed his calling as a realtor, but he gets by as the chef owner of Zahav, Federal Donuts, Rooster Soup Company, Goldie's, Dizengoff, and Abe Fisher.